Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Tickled me. He said everybody that could stand after that skating thing last night. I'll guarantee you there's some sore people. When you look at young Jonathan and he's hurting in his legs, they asked me, are you going to skate? I said, no. Thank God that the Lord has given me wisdom over the years. Because I'm telling you, that was intense. And there's some skaters in this group. I'm telling you, it was good to see. Well, I hope everyone had a wonderful week. We will briefly just look at the first chapter. Got a couple questions. We'll just go over them quick. But as you come along into this book, it gets more and more meaty. More questions that truly you have to reflect upon yourself a little bit to really think, if you would put yourself in the place at the time and to be asked this question from the true Lamb of God, just how would you answer it? What would you do? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you again for another Sunday. Lord, this is truly your day. Lord, all of them are your days, but we truly cherish this one in our hearts. Where we can come together as family, Lord, and just have fellowship. Father, I do pray for each and every person that has a part in today's service. Lord, that you would watch care over, open our eyes, and Lord, just allow our hearts to receive the true words of God. Father, be with our pastor, and Lord, each person again that has a part. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we talked a little bit about the question of what do you want? And I hope over the week you've kind of pondered this a little bit. What do you really want? You know, I personally want to grow closer to the Lord, to be more obedient to the things that He allows me to see and feel through His Word. I think we stopped at question, I think we were on 7, and we talked about when non-Christians begin to show interest in Christ, what are some things that they may be looking for? And I think some of the things was the mercy, the peace, and I think someone in the crowd said that a peace that passes all understanding. Well, that only comes from Jesus Christ. The world has empty promises. They can't give you anything that will last, but the peace and the joy and the happiness that Jesus Christ Himself can bestow upon us through the Holy Spirit is everlasting. And that's the important part. Question 8 answers, in verses 39 through 42, what evidence do you see that Andrew and the other person found or did not find what they were looking for? I believe being in the presence of the Messiah, truly the power of God, you know, was right hand in hand, was walking toe to toe at that moment. And this is something that the Baptist followers, John the Baptist, I'm saying, had been told, just like you said, for as long as they can remember. And now all at once, all of this is coming together at the crossroads of humanity. And this is Jesus right at the moment. So I think it was probably the Holy Spirit. The Spirit hadn't made the presence yet, because that comes at Pentecost, but the Spirit was all around, and the Spirit, through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are one. So the presence of God was at that moment right there in front of those men. Yes. At time, but hadn't made, you know, after Christ's ascension, you know, and he told everybody that I won't leave you alone, you know, I will bring the Comforter. So as far as what we see and know in the Bible, when the Holy Spirit truly come upon all mankind at that moment, I think through the Bible, I think that's the whole scarlet thread of redemption all the way from Genesis to Revelation, that the Spirit of God is truly in the presence of Almighty God through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I think he truly got, or they got their eyes open because of the presence of God. Anybody else, any thoughts on that? And remember, this was truly the crossroads of, this was it. This is where I've heard the pastor say a couple times, and I've read Vernon McGee, where the rubber truly meets the road. This is it. This is the time that Jesus Christ was going to put everything in its place, including death, which all mankind feared. But he, through his love for us, truly put death in its rightful place by going to the cross, and after 3 days, rose again. What was the immediate result of Andrew's encounter with Jesus? I think he wanted people to know, just like what brother just said, how do we know? There was Jesus the Messiah. And what's the first things he did? I'm going to tell my brother. You've got to come. We have found the Messiah. I mean, this was something that everyone up to the point of the cross had been waiting for. You know, this is what their whole law was based upon. Everything that they have learned, everything that was taught, was that the Messiah was coming. Well, now the Messiah is here. So, and he wanted to tell. Go ahead. Don't take my word for it.
Yeah.
Come and listen to this man.
Absolutely.
And so many times today, that's, you know, you've got family members that are lost. You've got neighbors that are lost. You've got friends, work, people that you work with, they're lost. Come and see. That's why it's very important. We'll never live a perfect life while we walk upon this earth. We won't. We're human beings. We are born of sin. I mean, we just are. The Bible tells us that man likes darkness more than they like light. And when I say man, I'm talking about humanity. But the Messiah had come, was standing there before. And anybody that has any love for their loved ones, come and see. Come and see for yourself, because this is the Messiah. He wanted to share that good news so bad. Question 10 says, why do you think Andrew was so definite about Jesus' identity as the Messiah? I think it's what Brother Don said. I think it's, this is the one they've been told about. He's witnessing it. He's feeling the Spirit of God. He's seeing what's happening. It's truly the Messiah. Yes. Absolutely. I think any time, if we spend time with him, through his word, through prayer, through fasting, you're going to grow in the Lord. And I think that's what was happening. 11, 12, and 13, I grouped them together. I'm just going to let you all, if anybody has anything to say on 11, 12, and 13, you know, we'll talk about them. But if not, it's kind of a what if, what could be, how do you feel question. If not, we will... we'll close out this first lesson. I had something on question 10. Truly, his heart was changed. In Ephesians 4, 23 through 25, and that you are to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, ridding yourselves of falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, because we are parts of one another. There's the gospel. I mean, it's truly, you are surrounded right then in this time by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the true Son of God. And it is starting to have an effect on people's hearts and on their minds. Same thing today. Once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and begin to drink the milk, I don't want you to jump in and start chewing on a big old porterhouse steak. sip the milk, and you sip that milk through the Word of God. People have asked me, and I'm sure they've asked other people, where do you go? What do you do? What's the first thing that you read in the Bible? My answer is this. I don't care where you start. Just start. And God will direct your path. He will lead you to where He wants you to be. So it's just little drinks of milk. And I think, can you imagine what the apostles were going through? I mean, all of this of being faced right here, everything that they'd heard about. And then Jesus turns and asks the question, what do you want? What do you seek? Can you imagine the emotions that were going through those men? Being in the presence of Almighty God. It's just amazing how God works. This lesson, too, hopefully everybody has read the intro. I'm going to move right on into the scripture because I got about a half hour, and hopefully we can talk about it. But I don't want us to be rushed. I want us to just discuss this. This is very important. This chapter 2, who are my mother and my brothers? Scripture is full of explanations for that question. Truly are. Let's read this morning. I'll start with Mark 3, 20 through 21. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. For they said, he is beside himself. Brother Fred came just before service started. There's an answer in the book. And like I said, when we started this, this is just one person's explanation of what they think and how things go. I think Mary, the mother of Jesus, was truly concerned over a couple things. One, he was drawing attention. He, in the name of Jesus Christ, was drawing attention to himself. And the demand upon him as an earthly being at that moment was taxing. I don't think he was eating right. I don't think he was sleeping the way that mom wanted him to sleep and to eat. And I think they truly were concerned as they went about trying to get him to slow down. Him, I mean Jesus. The first question says, how did Jesus' family react to what they were hearing about him? They were concerned. They thought he had truly lost his mind. Now remember, Jesus is the oldest of the children. So everybody else had seen Jesus grow up, had seen him probably get a splinter, get a blister. I don't think he ever said a harsh word to anybody. I think he loved from an early age. But they still went to bed, broke bread, cried, laughed, had family time together. And I think now that not only the Pharisees, but the Roman government, and they didn't like anything to be out of place. They didn't like to upend anything. They didn't want any spilled milk. They just wanted things to be fine. And here's Jesus Christ himself, literally about to turn the world upside down. I think the family truly had thought he had lost his mind. You ever been faced with that in your life?
Your own children?
Mom, really? Dad, come on. You're acting like a crazy person. No. I'm telling you the truth, that without Jesus Christ, you've got nothing. And people, neighbors, while they've gone plumb Jesus crazy, well, you mean you're going to church tonight? Well, you mean you're going to do something with the church on Saturday afternoon, I'm telling you, they've gone Jesus crazy. That's okay. I like being Jesus crazy. Amen. It's amazing how the power of God will work if you just, I stand at the door and knock. All you have to do is open the door. He'll do all the heavy lifting. If you don't open your Bible, and if you don't pray to the one who saved your soul from an eternity in hell, you won't grow. It takes effort. It really does. It takes effort to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd and illogical to those who are perishing and spiritually dead because they reject it. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God." There is nothing in this universe any stronger than the power and the draw of God. Nothing. I think it was. I think it was a combination. I think it was a combination of all things. I don't think Jesus was getting the rest. I don't think he was getting the nutrition. I don't think that the family wanted the attention. You know, now remember, Jesus' brothers were not yet followers of Jesus Christ. They were like, he's lost his mind. He's going to get us all killed or thrown into prison. It's going to happen. You know, later on down the road, we see where Jesus' brother became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. But he didn't have anything to do with Jesus during this time. I mean, he was a brother, but he did not want the attention that Jesus was drawing to him. Question two says, what could possibly have led them to that conclusion? Just one of those questions that we'll skip over. I'm new here. I've been here a year, but I don't know what you all have studied. I'm hoping that it's truly that you're all aware of this. The Roman government would take everything you owned. They would put you to death by the edge of the sword. They did not want any bit of disturbance at all. They would run you through. They would kill your family. They would absolutely take everything that you had in order to get you under control. Now, here are the religious leaders at the time in Jerusalem. And what do they want? They want Jesus dead. You are changing our lifestyle. If what you say is true, we will lose our handle upon power, upon all the things that we've worked for. And they didn't like that. Jesus Christ is on a mission, and it started. And there's nothing, not even the gates of hell, will prevail. He is, let's go. I've got my marching orders, and we're going to march. If you remember, she pondered these things in her heart of what was to come. She knew. Now, being a mother, I think she truly was concerned. Honey, you're not eating right. Honey, you're not getting your rest. I mean, it's a mother's love. That's what mamas do. You know, they worry about their children. You need to slow down a little bit. He wasn't about to slow down. What's that?
Especially Jewish mothers.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. My mama was the same way. You know, honey, you need to eat. I said, Mom, really? I can't hardly button my shirt. You know, I think I'm eating enough. Well, honey, you need to get some rest. You know, especially after I got married. You know, I think it takes time for a mama and a daughter-in-law to come together to see that, you know, a daughter-in-law is not really going to, well, I shouldn't say this. put people in their grave early. You know what I mean? But, and I think it's a growing period. And I think that's what the disciples are going through now. They're going through. I think that's what Jesus' family's going through. It's a growing time. It's getting to know one another even more intimate. Question 3. If you were in their place, how do you think you might have responded? It's another one of those, what do you think? You know, how does it actually? I wrote, today, some are still hesitant to step out and witness. I think we as Christians, we still are, well, will my family hate me? Will my neighbors not speak to me? Hey, it's better that they hear the good news. At least your conscience will be clear. When the Spirit of God comes upon you to witness to somebody, do it. He's there. He'll give you the words to say at that moment. Don't be afraid. Step out, because the people who are going to spend an eternity in hell, they need to know the good news. And some people may just slam the door right in your face. Trust me, it's happened. Not today. Well, if not today, when? Family dynamics, brother. We all have families. That's one thing we will always have, is family. Sometimes we get along, sometimes we don't. But being a Christian, first and foremost, be the grown-up in the room. Say, I'm sorry. Pick up the phone. Send a card. I don't care what you do. But show the love of Jesus Christ to your loved ones. It's important. It's important. We're going to read Mark 3, 31 through 35. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing outside, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren outside seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on those who sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. He looked out upon the crowd. You are my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Notice how Jesus' family approached him. What does their approach indicate? I think we've kind of talked about that one for a little bit. Does anybody have anything? I think they were truly concerned about him. I really do. But Jesus made it clear. Anybody who is part of the family of God are my relation. They are my family. With Jesus being the head of the body, we're all part of the body of Christ. And it's that important that we look upon. Do you realize this? That true believers in Jesus Christ, people in this room, have more in common with one another than you do the loss of your own family. Those who are lost in your family. You have more in common with us right here in this room as true followers of Jesus Christ than you do your family. It's so true. Because if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, now listen, I'm not talking lukewarm. I'm not talking about sitting on the middle of the fence. I'm talking about being all in for Jesus. That's love. And if nothing else, you have the building foundation of love. And you have that in the church body. That's why people come to church, because they want to be in fellowship one with another. They want to be fed the words of God. They want to have this time of Bible study. When was the last time you sat down with your entire family at home? The unsaved brother or sister, The unsaved brother-in-law, they can be tough. They can be tough. And had a Bible study. This is what it's all about. That's what Jesus said. These are my brethren. These are my mother. These are my sisters in Christ. That's the part that is, for so many, hard to believe. How could that happen? It didn't happen by anything we did. It happened by the work Jesus Christ did and will always do. He brought us together. The Bible says we are all part of the body of Christ, with Him being the head, first and foremost. What directs your feet? Your brain. What directs your arms? Your brain. Christ is the head. If we come together as a body of Christ, He'll find a place for us. We'll all fit together better than mankind could ever think or dream about putting us together. Question 5 says, Jesus could have told the messenger, those people are not my mother and my brothers. Or He could have gone outside and told them directly, you are not my mother or my brothers. What did He do instead? And what difference would His approach make? Rose? Absolutely. People would truly, when they said He's lost His mind, they know who His mother and His brethren were. If He would have said anything other than, yes, they are, but so are you. If He would have said, those aren't my, that's not my family. He'd have probably lost the crowd. They would have said, you truly are nuts. Because we've known Mary. So, yes. Absolutely. And He would have told a lie. He would have told a lie. This Messiah, this Jesus, is sinless. He would no longer, everything in that Bible we could just take and tear out and throw it away because it wouldn't be true. He didn't say this. They are my mother, my brethren, but so are you. This is through the love of God. Everything that He stands for. Even today, this was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So if He would have done that, you know, like I said, some of these questions, it makes you think, like, what in the world? But that question right there, as Jesus turned the world upside down, if Jesus would have done anything than answer the question the way He did, it would have turned the world right side up. There wouldn't have been a Messiah. This whole book is about that. The whole New Testament is about that. Jesus didn't have to give the answers. He wanted you to think about what He was saying. And He would come back to you with a question. It reminds me so much of the pastor. He'll read something. I've got a couple questions for you, he'll say. That's the way Jesus was. He wanted you to think what He was saying and how it truly affected your life. Same things today. The questions that we are asked and we're faced with, it makes you stop and reflect upon just who Jesus Christ truly is. And you know who the one is that has all the answers? And that's Jesus Christ. 6. What was Jesus really saying when He said, here are my mother and my brothers? This one made me think a little bit. I've got about a half a page of answer. And it's heritage versus spiritual adoption is what that is. We are part of the family of God. Not by what we did, but what Jesus did. And that cleansing power of that holy blood that was shed for us. It didn't just smear sin. It didn't cover it up. It took it away. And that's the difference between heritage and spiritual adoption. Number seven, the consistent teaching of the New Testament is that people become children of God through faith in Christ, not by obedience to God's law. And you can look at John 1, 12, and 13. Then what could Jesus mean when he said that whoever does God's will is his family in verse 35? Jesus himself said, I've come to turn the world upside down. To turn brother against brother, daughter against mother, because houses are divided, and they are today. But the true way is the way of Jesus Christ, and that's by coming to him, not on your terms, but by his terms. And that's what the world has a problem with today. Yes, we're all God's children. We were all made in the image of God. We learned that in the book of Genesis. But to turn your life control, isn't it ironic that we think we're in control? We can't control when we pull out down here the traffic on the road. And I pray for you all, whoever's driving on Northern now. Lord be with us all. Wow. But the world can't accept that. I'm in control. I don't need your help. And you can look around and see that the world's a wreck. It's burning. It's on fire. Folks, we're going to close. I want you to think about one thing. If you take nothing away, think about what this book in the last two chapters has been telling us. Read your Bible and pray. Prayer and reading God's word are the two most neglected things that Christians do today. The power of prayer is the most powerful thing in the world. It's the most powerful thing to man. When that veil was ripped in two, from the top to the bottom, when Jesus Christ died, we no longer needed anybody to access the throne of God for us. That's the difference between Christianity and all the other religions in the world, is a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. Do not neglect the power of prayer and the power of God speaking to you through his word. The church has a wonderful time of prayer. Wednesday afternoon, Thursday evening, whatever you can make, folks. The time that I've been here, but it was the same back home. We had prayer groups. And to see the answered prayer of the children of God to be answered. Now listen, not every prayer gets answered the way we want it answered. God is never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. But you have to open that door. You have to ask. And what better way is to read your Bible and pray. Which brings us to the time. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for everything. Lord, continue to be with the service today. And Lord, be with this group. Lord, as we just go through this book and just try to ponder in our hearts the questions that Jesus asked. Lord, let us find them through your word and through prayer. Father, again, protect our church. Be with our children. And Lord, thank you for our pastor. In Jesus' name, amen.